Good
Love
morning.
Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Callender. I am here. Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are glad, we are exceedingly glad that we are able to come on this morning and be live with you here on Blog Talk. We are running a little off time schedule this morning because I was trying to get some, buy a couple piece of tools on eBay. Didn't realize it was getting so late, but we are here anyway, as the Lord has allowed us to tune in this morning and touch the hem of His garment. So we're going to be teaching today part two of the message, proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural. We're going to be teaching this morning. We're going to teach this morning a little bit from the book of Acts chapter 3. And then we are going to go some other places as the Lord allow us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, we never try to do anything on our own. We try to make sure that all that we do according to the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for this morning. We ask you to bless the airwaves, O God, and those that are coming on, those that are already on the line, and those that are listening near and far. We ask your blessing, O God. We ask that your anointing would rest upon this air line this morning. And Lord, speak to us. We are in need of a word from you today that would take us closer and elevate us to a place of better leaders, oh God. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to come on in and sat with us today. Take control of the atmosphere. Take control of our lips, our eyes, and our ears of clay, everything that we see and do. Lord, let it bring glory to your name. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise. We're going to worship for a little bit, and then we'll come back and break bread.
You're the one.
to see you. Come on, let's sing it together.
Mighty
Heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Father, we thank you and praise you, oh God, for this day, for truly this is the day that you have made. And we are rejoicing and we are glad. We are exceedingly glad because you have allowed us to enter into this day that we have never seen before. And surely, we will never, ever see this day again. And we thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to come and break bread today. We are so grateful for the Apostle Washington and Bishop Washington, who was holding the line down for us for days and keeping things going, and we are grateful for that. You can't have a better brother or sister than the two of those. And we just loving hearing out to come in this morning and break bread for you. This morning we are speaking on the subject matter part two of proclaiming to be whole in the spirit but broken in the natural. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to be working from today. Lord showed me this on last night, so we want to go in there. We're going to start from verse 19 and on to the 26th verse, because this is a powerful subject. And a lot of times you don't hear too many people ministering from where I'm ministering from in this book. They'll always talk about the time where Peter and John were entering into the temple, and there was a lame man at the gate called Beautiful, begging alms, and how Peter told the man to look upon him. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. Rise up and walk. And Peter reached out and took him by his right hand, and the man began walking and leaping and praising God. Well, that's all good. But there's a lot of stuff that went on in that text, is that the children of Israel rejected God. You know, they didn't receive the men of God as the servants of God. They had rejected God. And you know, this is what went on with Israel through the years. One day they're for God, the next day not for God, just like we do from time to time. We are excited about God one day, and the next day we're not excited about God. One day we want to pray, the next day we don't want to pray. One day we want to give, the next day we don't want to give. We are like that. We are just like the children of Israel. Hallelujah. So here in this text here, Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Peter said to the people, so repent, change your mind and purpose, turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. He said to them that it is time for them to repent. See, the key word here is repent. We are proclaiming to be God's servants, to be God's ambassadors in the earth, in this realm that we are living in this earthly realm, but we are not doing 100% what God called us to do. And we become jealous and we become envious of our brothers and sisters that don't meet up, look up, meet the standard that we have, and our standard is so low, because most of us standards are not God's standard. God's standard is super high. Super high is higher than the mountains. It's higher than the valleys. It's higher than the ocean. God's standard is very high. But if some preacher is not matching up, we just get so down. We can't listen to him. We can't stand with him. And we just become critical. But here Peter said to them, Peter just come from, and John just come from allowing God to work through them and do a supernatural miracle. You know, miracles is something that only comes from God. God will use us to work miracles through us, but it's God doing the work, the miracles. So Peter and John just came from causing this man by the power of God to walk and leap and praise God. So now the people are rejecting God. They're rejecting God. And Peter, first thing Peter said to them here in chapter 3, verse 19, so repent. If you want to become whole, this is what Peter said to them. If you want to become whole, if you want to become what God has called you to be, you need to repent. Talking to my fellow worker yesterday and the day before. And he's praying, and his wife is praying for his son, and so much is taking place in their household. He said, there's no peace. He got plenty of money, but no peace. You see, money don't give you peace. Cars and buses and trains, airplanes and yachts don't give you peace. Only Jesus, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and give you peace, give us peace. Hallelujah. We sing the song, the joy I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Where do you think that joy comes from? He's talking about unspeakable joy. Where do you think it comes from? Full of glory. Oh, my God, my God. It comes from God. Yahweh, Yeshua. It comes from him. But we're trying to get the joy of the world. This is why you see so many preachers filling up the Bible with piercings and tattoos and all this dumb stuff, because they think that they can draw the world if they get these tattoos and piercings and stuff. No, God does the drawing. All you do is preach. You're a mailman. You're a mailwoman. You just carry the message. But God does the drawing. I can't understand why I've been praying for her for so long. I've been calling her. I mean, why is she not coming to God? God didn't draw her yet. God is working some things out of her life, out of his life. And when the time is right, he's going to draw them. You got to keep preaching. You got to keep singing. You got to keep praying, fasting. Hallelujah. Peter told them to repent. Why did he tell them to repent? Their mind had to be changed. Their purpose, their attitudes, their focus, their mindset had to be changed. They had to get a new focus. I was telling John yesterday, I said, John, anybody can pray, but a prayer without a target is not gonna accomplish anything. I told him, I said, it's just like an archer. Like Robin Hood, we were talking, we're standing in the driveway of the people, because we complete the job yesterday. We still got to go back, you know, when the electrician run the wire. I mean, I could do the wire, but why am I going to do the wire when I'm not getting paid for it? You know, and we're so low beyond what we charge, what we should have charged. And the man is very greedy, the man that owned the house. But here, I tell him, I said, look, an archer like Robin Hood. Robin Hood just, and his inviting men, they just shoot arrows all over the forest. If they needed deer, they killed only what they needed. They took only what they needed. If they needed deer, they would target a deer. And they would shoot the arrow, and the arrow would hit that deer. Some two men would go take that deer, and they would put his legs through a piece of wood tree, and they would carry it on his shoulder back to the camp where they're going to keep it. But if you shoot the arrows all over the place, you ain't going to catch that. You're going to hit ear. So if you're praying, you got to have a focus, a billboard of where you want to hit your prayer to hit. I'm praying for somebody to be free from cancer. I'm praying for somebody so-and-so to get a new job. And my target is on that. My focus is on that. So Peter says, he said to them, be here in Acts chapter 3, verse 19. He says, so repent. In the Amplified, I kind of spread this way. He said, change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. That times of refreshing, of recovering from the effect of heat, of reviving the fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. This is why we are repenting. This is why we repent every day. Why? Because God is constantly releasing new stuff to us. And if our
releasing. Hallelujah. So he told him so that you can receive in the time of refreshing that stuff that comes from the presence of the Lord. Verse 10 says, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus. You see, God had a plan even before the foundation of the world that men and women, boys and girls, would sin. That they would turn away from him, but God has made provisions for us to return to him. We can't come back to him by our own merits, but we come back to him by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm talking about proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but broken in the natural. God was telling me, man, y'all know this preacher. And we couldn't remember the preacher name. He said, man, he had so many thousands and thousands of people following him. He wore this big old giant diamond ring on his finger. He began to tell me, he said, that he's from down there, Georgia. I couldn't remember the preacher either. How quick people slip away from your mind, especially when they've been doing bad. He was proclaiming that he was whole, but he was broken in the natural. He was talking about Bishop Long. And he was talking about how Bishop Long had deceived the people of God. And a lot of time, pastors and leaders, they look whole. Just like we're teaching today. They look whole, but they're not whole. And the pride, the Lord told me last time, I put on Facebook, coming here last night, coming here yesterday, was so tired. I told my wife on my way home, I said, honey, just go get some chicken wings or something that's already cooked. You don't need to cook anything because I'm tired. And I came home here. She bought a whole one and ready-baked chicken in the store. And I just popped off a leg and a tie, and she had potato coleslaw or something. I said, I didn't even need none of that stuff. I said, I'm so tired. I just need to eat a little bit of chicken, and I'm going to go across some big chicken. And I took off my clothes and lay across the bed, washed my hands up because I took a shower in the morning before I left. And I washed my hands and my face and lay across the bed, and I didn't sleep till last night. Till about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I got up and started doing a little studying. So many preachers are proclaiming to be whole, but they're broken. And this is why you see that people are turning away and running away from God, because they're looking at us, the men and women of God, and seeing that we're saying one thing, but we're doing something else. You got preachers that are preaching the gospel, and their heart are filled with malice. Their hearts are filled with animosity. Their heart are filled, apostles, their heart are filled with envy and jealousy, and critiquing their brothers and sisters like no tomorrow. Oh, that's sin. Oh, that's a sin. We are helpers one to another. Paul said we are many members, but we are one body, having one spirit, the spirit of the Messiah inside of us. I put a thing the Lord said yesterday. It says, folk have to make sure that outside is lined up with the inside. We got outside dressed up. We are dressed up. And we call it dressed up garbage cans. We are dressed up on the outside, apostle. We look so good on the outside. We have the bishop ring on our finger. We have the apostle ring. We have the prophet ring. We have the evangelist ring, the pastor ring, the teacher ring. We have all of these things on our fingers that look the part. We wear the robe. We wear the priest collar. We got the mitres on our head. We got all that stuff that looked the part. But on the inside, I hear pastor said many years ago, we are like a whitewashed tomb. We're like a whitewashed tomb on the inside. Outside look good, look godly, but inside does not match up. And this is what God is saying, that we are proclaiming to be whole, but we are broken. We're proclaiming to be whole in the spirit, but we're broken in the natural. We're broken. Here, Jesus, I got so much on this. I'm telling you, glory to God. I got another sermon that's supposed to back this sermon up. They're just going to go hand in hand. They're like sister and brother. They're like sister and brother. I tell you, glory to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, glory to God. Look on the Facebook. You're going to see the finished product of the work that we just did. I just put three computers on the boilers. You know, everything is computerized. I just put three computers. It looks much different. You can see, like, water on the ground. Oh, we had to bleed out some water from the system, and the water was on the ground. There's no mistake in that. When you see that water, don't think there's something broken. But you can see the work. When I put all the copper pipe and stuff to bring the water and the steam pipes and everything, just and then they're going to work just like that. So the electrician put the wire. I could have wired them. But no, I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it because I give them a lot already. Hear what he says, man. Look. He says, oh, my God. Whom heaven? See, the Messiah come. God has sent his son from the throne home. He left his home in glory and come into time so that he can go on a cross and die so you and I can have access to the tree of life. He didn't have to. The same way that they form a new world, new people with no three sons and his wife and a daughter-in-law, with eight people, he could have did the same thing. But he said, no, I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son. He allowed his son to leave his bosom and come into earth so that we can have the right to the tree of life, that we can drink from the fountain of life. Who is the tree of life? Jesus. Who is the fountain of life? Jesus. We got to drink him. We got to eat him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, glory to God. So he says, and that he may send to you the Christ, the Messiah, who before was designated and appointed for you, even Jesus, whom heaven must receive and retain until the time for the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for ages past, from the most ancient time in the memory of man. See, all this stuff that we're doing now that you see happening was already spoken by the prophets of old. Ain't nothing new on your son. Maybe new to you and I because we just turned 73. But all this stuff that we see happening, God had already spoke to the prophets. People would come and they would reject his very own son. They would reject the way of life that God proposed for us to live. One preacher down there was arrested for going and singing hymns by an abortion clinic. And the president sent the FBI, all presidents, sent the FBI to arrest this pastor. He was given 11 years just for singing the hymns. God said at the time that people would come and they would reject his very name. His very name. So when you begin to preach and teach and you say, oh, yes, Jesus this and Yahshua this and Yahweh this and Adonai this and all this stuff, we're calling out his names and the great I am and the land of the tribe of Judah, you say that stuff, don't get surprised if they don't come behind you and grab you on the back and put handcuffs on you and shackles on you and put a chain around your waist. Because Jesus said, he told us this in the word, that from back then, way back, they would arrest you and throw you into prisons, even kill you for his name's sake. So if you're going to proclaim to behold, you better be ready to die. You better be ready. If you don't want to die, you can't live. Hallelujah. Before you can live, you got to die. You got to die to this world system. You got to die to the expectation of your family, of your friends, of your loved ones, oh God, of your associates. Oh God, I hear you. We have to be ready to die if we want to live. This is message coming straight from heaven. Straight from heaven. I'll tell you the truth. I've listened to Pastor and Bishop preach all week. And I said, God, I can't wait to get back to Blog Talk Radio. I can't wait. And God, let everything run smooth on the job. Everything run smooth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what he says. This is what he says. Oh, my God. This is what he says. He said, thus Moses said to the fathers, the forefathers, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet from among your brethren as he raised up me. Him you shall listen to and understand by hearing and heed in all things, not something, whatever he tells you. He's talking about Jesus. This Jesus that we serve. I hear one man saying last night on YouTube, he's talking about the Catholic people. And he said the Catholic people who come to Jesus, there was never Jesus. There was never a crucifixion. You know, you got some people that they're so wise that they become foolish. Yes, the Catholic priests are preaching them change some stuff, but you can't denounce the crucifixion. You can't denounce his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection. You can't denounce it. If you denounce, you just say, well, I'm just living this life, and when I die, that's it. But God allow you to hear some things like that so you can get sharper when it comes to the things of God. Because there's a whole bunch of fools out there. Listen to what he said, glory to God. Hallelujah. Moses tell him that, you know, that God going to raise up. That's his son. That's what the Jewish people used to call him, the prophet. They say he was a prophet, a great teacher. But he was more than a prophet. He was more than a teacher. He's God. Hallelujah. And it shall be that every soul that does not listen to and understand by hearing and heed that prophet shall be utterly exterminated from among the people. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15 to 19 tell you that. I'm reading that this morning. As a matter of fact, I got a bookmark on that. Hallelujah. And he says, listen. Indeed, all the prophets from Samuel and those who came afterwards, as many as have spoken, also promised and foretold and proclaimed these days. The prophet was talking about the times before how Jesus will come. That God would send his son, the prophet, the one who would stand up and teach and preach the truth without compromising. And God is expecting us now to do the same thing. Don't compromise. Because somebody said, well, I'm going to give Bishop $1 million for his birthday. Well, I'm glad you get a bit. I'm glad this Bishop. Yeah, I hope this was some we could do it. But they get $1 million. And then the folk tell them to say, don't say that. Don't you believe that God's going to let the homosexuals go to heaven? Even while they're still committing homosexual acts. And the priest bishop would get there on TV and say, not all bishop, not all Blog Talk bishop. And that bishop would get on TV. I would say, oh yeah, he's a good God. And he makes a way for homosexuals to be in heaven with him. Or in the New Jerusalem. Another one should say, another one pastor would say, well, you know, he's a good God. And he's not going to condemn people to go to hell when he got a place that they can come and be with him. You know, these are billionaire preachers. And you have millions of people following them and believing what they say. Say, well, we can keep on fornicating. We can keep on committing adultery. We can keep on stealing and getting drunk and all kind of stuff that we do that is contrary to the word of God. And we're going to still go to heaven because we go to church every Sunday. We go to church on Wednesday night. We go midweek service. We on Sabbath day. We go to church on Sabbath. We do everything. But we still sinning. And Jesus said, you can't be in the light and darkness at the same time. You can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Why are we still thinking that we're going to heaven? When we live in a darkened life that we think God don't know, your friends or your co-workers may not know, your family may not know, but who knows? The one who sits high and looks low. The one who eyes go to and fro through the earth, he knows all. So he is saying, if we want to be truly whole, we got to submit and commit to his way, to his will. Totally submit. Don't be moved because somebody said, well, I'm going to buy you a Rolex watch. I'm going to give you a Lamborghini. We really appreciate you. We've been listening to you. We've been following you. And we're going to give some Caucasian man and woman said that. They tell me, oh, we appreciate what you've been doing, Apostle. And just go to our page. You have won. I ain't playing no game. They said, go to their page. I have won. They want to give me $10,000. You understand? That's what they say.
No way.
I ain't went to the page, thanks. I ain't never been to the page. You understand?
My God.
Because anything that's coming like that, something is behind it. You understand?
Yeah.
I ain't never opened the page. It may cost me something more than I expect. You know, we say that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you want to pay. Don't start with that foolishness. People tell you, oh, but come on my page, go to my page, and you won. No. I know I already won. I already won because Jesus is mine. and I'm his.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I don't need stuff to win. Hallelujah. We ain't got our money clear yet, but we just sent out money last night to pay school fees. School fees and buy food for families in Africa. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I win.
Hallelujah.
I don't need a lot. Folks, say you don't need a lot, man. You got Jesus. You got more than enough. And then when you begin to proclaim this stuff, I was praying for was standing in the driveway last night at the people's house, and we were praying for John and his son. And that man said, "Change, Pastor." I looked at him. His whole countenance changed. He said, can you see me? Something is happening to me. I said, "I know. I'm looking at you." I said, "I'm looking at you." His whole face changed. I mean, like something came over and changed his face. God touched him yesterday. He got to come call me on the phone. I had to mute Block Talk Radio for a minute in the talking room. God is that awesome. When you give your heart to him, he gives his heart back to you. Hallelujah. His heart is always available, but you got to do something. You got to take initiative to give your heart to God. Say, "God, yes, I'm living for you. I'm going to die for you, Lord, because you died for me. Why can't I die for you so I can live for you?" Hallelujah. Glory to God. So here, Joe, here in this text here, Jesus, he said, "Indeed, the prophets from Samuel and those who came afterwards, as many as have spoken, also promised and foretold and promised and proclaimed these days. You are the descendants, sons and daughters of the prophets and the heirs of the covenant which God made and gave to our forefathers, sent to Abraham, and your seed here shall all the families of the earth be blessed and benefit." Genesis chapter 22, verse 18. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, "It was to you first that God sent his servant and son Jesus. When he raised him up, provided and gave him for us to bless you in turning every one of you from your wickedness and evil ways." Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Acts chapter 3, verse 22. We just read that scripture there when Moses was speaking. God had already made provision for us to walk holy. Do you know that? Holiness come through Jesus Christ. He had made provision for us to walk holy. He said, it's hard for me to... No, it's hard if you plan to do it on your own. But you can walk in holiness when you trust Jesus. When we allow Jesus to enter into us, we can become holy. You can't walk holy on your own. The devil is on your path. He is trying to stop you from becoming who God is. What we got to do is allow him to lead us in God. Go to Numbers chapter 5. I'm not going to keep you too long, because I don't know if the preacher going to call, say that she's going to preach tomorrow or not. But if not, I get somebody to preach tomorrow. I'm going to minister on Saturday, the Lord say the same. If not, a pastor minister on Saturday, it doesn't matter. Here, Numbers chapter 11, chapter 5, I'm sorry. I don't know why you give me 11 there, but let's go to chapter 5. And we're going to talk about sin that hinders us from walking holy. A lot of time we perfect this thing, Apostle. We perfect this thing and we dance this thing. We sing this thing. I last time the Lord would show me some stuff. And I was looking through some worship music on YouTube. And I saw that young man that sing the song, "Don't Let the Devil Ride." If you let him ride, he would try to drive. Hallelujah. Don't let him ride. If you let him ride, he's going to try to drive. Hallelujah. The moment that you allow to entertain the devil in your mind, he's going to try to take over your mind. He's not going to let you just say, "Oh, yeah, I just talked to the devil." No, you entertaining that stuff, you're going to cast on that thought, those thoughts in the imagination. The moment we keep playing that stuff, staying there, the devil says, "I don't want to get this stuff, boy. Go and start doing this stuff, girl." Don't let him ride. Get in your car. My son get in my car. I said, "Boy, you make sure you blow that smoke outside. Don't blow that smoke in my car." He wanted smoke. He said, "Daddy, can you pull over? Just give me a minute. He got a nicotine attack." I said, sure. I said, but when you finish smoking, you make a last puff popping in the ear. Clear your lungs. Don't bring it in, bring it in my truck. Why? Because that stuff going to contaminate my lungs too. Secondhand smoke. You know, he said, that's your son. That's your dog. No, you're my son, my dog, but you're going to obey. If not, walk. I don't care. I tell you what. That's how I operate. Okay? I don't say, no, you're my son. No. Leave that stuff outside. Because that's what had me couldn't breathe. Hallelujah. Listen to what he says here in Numbers chapter 5. Glory to God. Look. Peter, as I was studying that, you all read that text here with Peter and John going up to the church on the day of prayer. What is so phenomenal about that text here that Peter didn't never try to take no kind of glory for himself. Like these old so-called bishops and apostles that they got up there today and pastors and stuff. They got these big churches, these big auditoriums. And they walk and shake their head and push their chest up like they're doing something like it's them. And they use a lot of elaborate words, you know, in Greek and Hebrew and Latin and all type of stuff they're doing. Hallelujah. All they're trying to do is get glory. And look at Peter and John, mighty men of God. What do they do? They point right back at Jesus. The one. Here, Peter begins to exhort Jesus in the book of Acts chapter 3. He was exalting Jesus as the one. The one that they condemned, they took Barabbas and sent Jesus to the cross. You hear what I'm saying? And Peter would let them know they're still guilty now because they don't know that same Jesus that you all rejected is the one why this man is whole today. Hallelujah. How are you going to get whole? You got to let Jesus come on in. You got to allow Jesus to enter in, into your heart. Let him come into your situation. He wants to be part of your life. But we say, no, I'm part of the Baptist Church of God in Christ, and my bishop do this. Yeah. You better ask God to really show you your bishop heart, your apostle heart. Are they really proclaiming and living for Christ? Have they died? Are they dying to the world? God took me to Las Vegas. I didn't have no money to pay. But my pastor now is 96 years old. He said, man, I'm going to take you to Las Vegas. He said, I'm going to pay everything. He took about five or six of us. He paid everything. Now my pastor had business. He was a contractor. He didn't make his money from the church. He made his money God. Given wisdom, he used buy houses and sell them, fix them up and sell them. That's how he made his money. But he always was giving back to the body of Christ and paid for all of us. And I went to Las Vegas, and the Lord stayed in the MGM Hotel, the same one that Michael Jackson was in that talked about it. And Wendy had given up our room. We had no place to stay. And we standing there at the front desk in the foyer. They got a big line, a big gold line in the foyer when you come into the foyer. You know, a couple of lanes, a couple on the outside. Couple inside, and then they got a cage, a big cage inside when you get in there with a gamble, a big cage in there with red lanes, the ones that, I mean, you can hear them growling. But they got these statues of lanes coming. And we stand in the foyer, and we start to pray. The man says, called the maitre d' or manager, whatever it is, he says, your room was given, your rooms were given up by mistake. And we praying and praying. God made a way right there. The man, still look, what we going to do, we're going to give you the penthouse. And the penthouse was bad. I tell you, that thing was bad. And people paid thousands of dollars a night for that penthouse, one of them penthouse rooms. And it had everything, jacuzzi and everything. And they gave us that room for the same price as an ordinary room. You hear what I'm saying? And God would do that. We have bishops that were with us that was going down and gambling because they had to pay debt. That's what they said. And God showed me that they were doing stuff. And one bishop was a bisexual. And, you know,
we ain't had enough beds. So I would have to sleep in the bed. I said, no, I won't sleep in the bed with no. Because I knew what the lifestyle was. So I told the man, I said, look, can you bring me a couch, a cot or something? So they bring me a pull-out bed, no roll-away thing. And I slept on there. But you got to stand for truth. Here in the book of Numbers, this is a whole lot of stuff here. Let's go through this here real quick, fast, in a hurry and see what we can do as the Holy Spirit lead us. We're going to roll. Let's go back to Amplified. Quick. Amplified. Hallelujah. Oh, the NIT. 1, 2. I got all the Bibles on one set. One set right there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Numbers chapter 5. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, bless the name of Lord Jesus. If you really, really, really want to live for Christ, you got to make in your mind. You got to make up in your mind. You got to die to self. Self must die. We must recognize that it's no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. You got to die to self. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, if a man's wife goes astray and commit an offense of guilt against him, you're talking about adultery, okay? And a man lies with her carnally, he's talking about adultery, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is kept secret through, though she is defiled, and there is no witness against her, nor was she taken in the act. And if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, her husband, and he is jealous and suspicious of his wife, who has defiled herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him, okay, he's suspicious of his wife, though she has not defiled herself, then shall the man bring his wife to the priest. And he shall bring the offering required of her, a tenth of an ephah of barley meal. But he shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense on it, symbol of favor and joy. Frankincense and oil is the symbols of favor and joy. For it is a cereal offering of jealousy and suspicion, a memorial offering bringing iniquity to remembrance. God does not play, but we find ourselves want to play with God. God was showing me in that apostle how so much of these worship leaders, they're just actors. You show me this. They're just actors. They're putting on a stage performance. They're not truly worshiping God. It's a stage performance, and they're more concerned about the check that they're going to get after they sing five songs. Do you hear what I'm saying? They're not going out there and pouring out their heart for God. It's a business. They took a lot of the preachers. They tell you. Oh, I was in the church where the preacher said that it's a business. It's a business. That way they're making hot dogs and hamburgers and barbecue spirits and all this stuff trying to raise money. Putting on concerts trying to raise money. God said he'll supply all our needs. I ain't lack for nothing. I don't lack for anything. Because I told the Lord before, Lord, I don't need much. I don't need much. I got clean water. I got distilled water out there. Several gallons in the garage. Got some food in the fridge. Got some little treats. I like little treats once in a while. And got in the cupboard, graham crackers and stuff like that. I love graham crackers, you know. And I got a lot of herbs. I was laying on the bed the other night, and they had messed with a computer. And I took a picture. I have a Bigfoot here looking ashy too. I didn't even put no oil on it. I said, I hope that don't slip out on computer, on the internet. And I have a whole bookshelf with all of my herbs. My wife says, you got a sure enough got a CBS at the house. But yeah. I don't need a lot. If something is going on, I can go to my chef and pick up something and say, well, let me just look. This for that, this for that. You don't need a lot, man. If you're trying to crave all this stuff of the world, you got to die and leave it. You don't give it nobody. You don't bless it nobody. This man had to take an offering.
to the priest, to the man of God, so the man of God can lay hands on his wife, pray for his wife. But the Bible says, and the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. And the priest shall take holy water, probably from the sacred liver, in an earthen vessel, and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it in the water. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and let the hair of the woman's head hang loose, and put the meal offering of remembrance in her hand, which is the jealousy and suspicion. And the priest shall have in his hand the water of bitterness that brings the curse. No. You see that? In this today, you would think that's witchcraft. But see, the woman is supposed to be whole. Excuse me. But she's broken in the natural. Like many of us, many leaders are going around acting like they got it all together. And the professor, oh, I know Hebrew, I know Greek. I know how to exegete and all these other stuff they're putting, all this stuff that they're putting on the scriptures. And they tell you this stuff. And when you hear them preaching, it sounds good. They're prolific speakers. You say, man, they're good. But what do their lifestyle say? I had a man talk to me on the phone. He lived on the third floor. And I had a special light that I bought from Harbor Freight, the high-powered light. I mean, it lights up the whole, if you put that down your street, it lights up your whole street. I paid like $60 for that guy having a cunt with Harbor Freight. I pay off the bill already. But anyway, he comes down in the basement, because the electric not coming to disconnect some stuff in the ceiling, in the basement, and he had half of his apartment and had no light. He got a little aquarium with some fish. So he had no light, no current to keep the pump going. He says fish will die. I said, well, you come down, I'll take my card, and you go to work. And he cussing all on the phone. But when he come into my presence, oh, Apostle, you should have been there. When he come into my presence, the Holy Spirit grabbed hold of him. I said, well, why you got to be cussing and all that kind of stuff? Cussing all that stuff. Do you know who I am? And he said, sir, I'm so sorry. He's a big guy, too. Tall. Six something, two something. He said, I'm so sorry. I was just having a bad day. I said, but you can't let your bad day cause you to act simple before people that you haven't even met me. And you're talking to me like I'm some street person. I said, you take my car and take it up to your apartment like it's your car. He said, I don't want to let my fish there, and and FM and GD and all this kind of stuff on the phone. So I said, okay. And when he come, he broke down. Broke down there, right there in the basement where I was working. I hung on my side, wearing up the computers on the boiler. Because John don't know nothing about this stuff. And I was wearing up the computers and low water cut off and all that kind of stuff. I wearing up. And he came and talked. But see, God is so awesome. See, I'm not saying that we are awesome or we are perfect, but when you are striving for perfection in the Lord would allow people to see him working through you. He had even allowed them to see him touching you, because the glory will rest upon you. Remember when Moses was up there on Mount Horeb, sent to Mount Sinai? He was up there, but when he came down, the Bible said he had to put a veil over his head because why? The glory of God had rest upon him. And his countenance had changed. Hallelujah. This is what God wants to do with us. The same thing he did to Moses and Noah and all those folks and prophets back then, he wants to do with us. But what is hindered is that we don't want to die. We don't want to die to self. We still want to operate like this world is our home. It's not our home. We're just passing through. We got to do something while we are here. Hallelujah. While we are here, we have to do something so that somebody else will get to pass through. They're not going to stay here. They'll pass through with us or after us. We implant something in them, impregnate them with the word of God. We got to live this thing, because once we start to die to self, Christ begins to live in us. He begins to live in us, that people begin to see him in us. They begin to respect us for who we are and whose we are. Glory to God. We begin to become whole. We're no longer broken. Hallelujah. Let me just finish this thing here quick. I ain't got too far to go. Listen. Oh, God. Then the priest shall make her take an oath and say to the woman, if no man has lain with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness with another instead of your husband, then be free from any effect of this water of bitterness which brings the curse. See, she's in a place right now. When you come to that place, people go, oh, the Lord knows. They're lying. And bringing the Lord, making an oath. Oh, the Lord knows I didn't say that. What are they trying to impress the person that's here before them? Lord, no, I didn't do that. They're making an oath, invoking the name of the Lord. But in a sense, you got to say, I thank God for grace. Because how many times that we have made that oath, knowing that we were lying, knowing that we have been cheating, and doing all this stuff, and we say, Lord, no, I haven't done anything. You know you did. God know you did. God know we did. But God, now because of his son, the blood of Jesus, our bishop talks about all the time, cleanses us from all unrighteousness, and we confess our sins, we don't get the curse. Listen, I'm going to finish this here quickly. Listen what it says. Then the preacher made her take an oath. You see, she's making that, taking off. So that this thing will come. But if you have gone astray and you are defiled, some man having lain with you beside your husband, then the priest shall make the woman take the oath of the curse and say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and an oath among your people when the Lord makes you your thighs fall apart and your body swell. You imagine that? This is powerful that day. Today, women, men, they have husbands, they have wives, and they're sleeping around like they're a gambler, going from table to table, from bed to bed. No kind of consequence. Don't have no type of guilt over them. I'm just having a good time. I let my hair down. But we as Christians, we can't let our hair down. We're supposed to walk in the wholeness of who he is and not be broken like the world. The world is broken if you don't know. The president, the vice president, the Congress, the senators, the House of Representatives, the Supreme Court justice, the police department, the federal department, they're all broken. But we're supposed to walk in the wholeness of Christ. Hallelujah. So what we got to do, we have to be different. But we don't want to be difficult. If we be like them, we'll draw them to Christ. The devil is a liar. He's a liar, and the truth is not in him. No, we have to be like Christ. We have to be the light and the salt of the world. The Bible says if the salt loses flavor, what good is it? But to be thrown in the street or trampled on the foot. And if the light, you don't light a candle and put it underneath a basket. You put it on a hill where everybody can see it and they can walk free. We are the light of the world. But we are acting like darkness. We are broken. We are disconnected from the truth. And God said, no, we need to let the light shine through us so that others will see and come to the cross and repent. We're almost true, Brother Bishop. We're almost true. The thing is here, that she was given a choice to tell the truth. And if she was there asleep with anybody, the curse will not affect it. But if she had slept with somebody, apart from her husband, the curse will come upon her. And what would happen? Her legs will be swollen. Her legs will be swung open like she's having sex with everybody. And her legs will be swollen. the tithes and everything. And then the priest said to her, very thing, may this woman that brings the curse go into your bowels and make your body swell and your tithes fall away. And the woman shall say, so let it be, so let it be. The priest shall then write these curses in a book and shall wash them off into the water of bitterness. And he shall cause the woman to drink the water of bitterness that brings the curse. And the water that brings the curse shall enter into her to try her bitterly. Then the priest shall take the cereal offering of jealousy and suspicion out of the woman's hand and shall wave the offering before the Lord and offer it upon the altar. And the priest shall take a handful of the cereal offering as a memorial portion of it, excuse me, and burn it on the altar, and afterward shall curse the woman to drink, cause the woman to drink the water. And when he has made her drink the water, then if she is defiled and has committed a trespass against her husband, committed adultery, the cursed water which she drank shall be bitterness and cause her body to swell and her tithe to fall away, as the woman shall be a curse among her people. But if the woman is not defiled and is clean, then she shall be free from the curse and be able to have children. This is the law of jealousy and suspicion. When a wife goes aside to another instead of her husband and is defiled, or when the spirit of jealousy and suspicion come upon a man and he is jealous and suspicious of his wife, then shall he set the woman before the Lord, and the priest shall execute on her all this law. The husband shall be free from iniquity and guilt, and that woman, if guilty, shall bear her iniquity. This is the word of the Lord. If we are going to walk for God, if we are going to walk for God and do what God calls us to do, we are going to have to die to self. We are going to have to make sure that we live for God. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Yes, grace is available, but also the curse is available. Hear me well. If we want to walk for God, we want to be whole. We don't want to be broken. This is the word of the Lord for us today. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us. Lord, we have worked the scripture as you've given us guidance. And we pray that someone that hear this word today or will hear it, O God, that they would gravitate to your word, not to my voice, but to your spirit. And that this word would take us closer to you, Lord, to live righteous, to live holy, knowing that what looks good, the grass that looks green on the other side, doesn't mean that it's real grass. You can go to Home Depot, Lowe's, and you can buy a whole row of that grass, and you can put it out front of your house, and it always look green. Somebody will wonder, how come that lawn is always green? They don't realize that's artificial grass. Lord, we have to be the real thing. We want to be the real thing. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. We want to experience that joy and that pleasure, Lord, without any defilement in our life, Lord. We ask you to help us, to watch over us, to guide us, to lead us, Lord, and we will follow. Lord, help us to die to self. Self is always trying to raise up its ugly head because it wants to be fed. Lord, we ask you to help us to put it to death, that the spirit man might become whole in your presence, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on in, Brother Bishop, and let the Lord use you as you always do, he always does, and do the prayer of salvation. And I don't know if Pastor Providence Kirshie is going to come in tomorrow. If not, we have
We have to have somebody come and teach tomorrow. I'll come back inside. I think the Lord wants me to minister on Saturday, and we're going to talk about the defilement on Saturday. Come on in.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Greetings to everyone online on this day. Praise God and all his glory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, God. Thank you, Father. If you have never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please take this opportunity to do so. And I would pray that you would if you haven't, because no man or woman on this earth can call the time or date of their death. You can take any kind of gun you want and put it in your mouth or your head. And God forgives. And God forgive them. Even the thought is horrible. But, you know, the people do things like that because they think they're going to get out of the misery at the end. And now you're going to eternal misery because you're taking your own life. Oh, God. Help us all, Lord. Yes. And as the apostle was saying, God forbid, you know, may God forgive even the thought of suicide. But Jesus can work anything out. And the word of God says, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. And knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Okay, so today, if you have backslidden, rededicate your life to Christ Jesus. And if you've never accepted, please, I'm urging you to please accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because we don't know when our time is up. We don't really know. It's up to God Almighty. Hallelujah. No. Okay. If you have a Bible, and most people who come on the line, they have a Bible, but they don't want to, you know, say anything, but they want to read along with you. I can understand that. Hallelujah. Turn to the book of Romans. Okay. And go to chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. And it says, verse 8, what does it say? It says that the word is near you. It's in your mouth. So if God said it's in your mouth, that means you have to speak it. You know, think about it. Just think about it for a second. You have to speak it, and you have to say it. So the enemy will pick it up in the air and know that you're not under his command anymore, but that you're in the army of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can stay in that army. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Now, if you said that prayer and you said, God, I'm sorry. I want to join you. And I'm not going to be with Satan anymore. I will go to heaven if I pass now and whenever. I want to go to heaven with you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, you can hear someone say that and you don't say it, then you're not saved. If you say it along with it in your mind and you think about it, you're still not saved because the word says it's in your mouth, which means you have to speak that word. So speak it. Speak it. Tell God that you love him and you want him to be your Savior. Hallelujah. For he is the only way unto heaven. Though it is written that in the book of Romans Romans chapter 4, verse 12, if you will, and it says, there is no name under heaven, no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ. So ask your pastor to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to stay in the church, that's fine. You know, but I'm not saying to leave your church. I'm not saying. All I'm saying is in the book of Romans, they tell you how people were baptized. And by the way, if you make this confession, if you believe that Jesus died for our sins and our iniquities, that you are now saved, okay. Right in your home, on the bar stool, but you have to say it. You don't have to yell it. You just say it, because the enemy can like I said, can't read your mind. And what tell is that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So congrats. Sometimes people will do things on emotions. You may see me being baptized and go under the water. Well, yeah, she could do that.
Bishop, you're moving or something. You must be moving. Your phone is acting up.
Okay, yes. I was moving, I sure was. Okay. I can't hear enough now.
All right, now you see.
Yeah, but can he hear me? Also?
Yeah, I can hear you a little bit. It seemed like you're moving or something. I don't know.
I was moving, but now I'm sitting still. Yeah, I was in a chair, and I was rocking. But I'm sitting still. I want to know, could you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. Okay. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Well, as I said, congratulations to anyone who has received the help that our Lord is the Savior. And in the book of Acts, we go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 2 through 40. And if you read that, you'll see where Peter told everyone to repent. Before you get baptized, repent. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There's no one else's name in the Bible that you should be saved by except the Lord Jesus Christ. So ask your pastor to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And remember, if you make this pledge, this confession to God, you must repent and do not go back to the ways that you were living. Change your ways and ask the Holy Spirit to change your ways. Do what's right, and you will be richly rewarded with your eternal blessing. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I want to thank everybody for listening to the message today. I want to thank everyone who received Jesus as their Savior. Hallelujah. And I want to thank everyone who was backslidden and has rededicated their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless all of you and your families in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Apostle, it's
amen.
Back to you,
sir. Amen. Thank you so much, Bishop. Mother Grant, come on in.
Praise the Lord. Good morning to everybody. God bless you. Blessing to everybody on the line this morning.
Praise the
Giving
Lord.
Him praise for waking me up this morning. God bless you all. My reading is, say, when we say yes to God. Teaching people to swim begin with a simple lesson. They must put their faces in the water. That person get comfortable in the water. And it's critical for the all swimmers skill in the same way. Following God begin with a small act of obedience. It may be seen insufficient or unrelated to the task at the hand, but that's where God wants us to start. When Jesus asked to borrow a fishing boat, it must have seemed like just an ordinary request. Peter had no idea it would open the doors to ministry and remarkable adventure with the Lord, saying yes to God in a small thing and small things. It's to discover his purpose for us and what more our obedience will also often cause others to benefit. Peter complained with Jesus' next small request to let down his net one more time results in two boats of fish, which was more than enough for all those with him. Obedience to God may appear unreasonable at times, like a carpenter asking a professional fisherman to try one more, even though he had been fishing without success all night. But obeying the Lord can lead to the divine, to ordinary, appropriate, and blessing for us and others. How do you respond to God's request? Does the word yes come quickly? Psalm 60 and 66, Luke 5, 1 and 7, and may God add his blessing to his word. Amen.
Thank you so much, Mother, for that reading. We appreciate you. Whenever you get a chance to come on and read with us. So the line is open. The line is open for anyone that wants to respond. It is.
Apostle on.
Yes.
Yes. Hello.
Yep, the line is open.
The line is open. Hallelujah. For the line. Thank God for Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Praise his name.
Thank God we have a line that stays open to heaven. Glory be to God.
Mm.
God's line never shuts down. Hallelujah. It's always open for those who have a heart that's consecrated unto God. Oh, my God, we thank you for this word. Thank you, Apostle, for allowing the Lord to use you to bring us this strong, powerful word. Again, we are talking about repentance, being obedient, hallelujah. Walking holy is the only way. The only way to walk holy is to be obedient. And obedience is so much greater than sacrifice. And so we thank God that we know that we always have a Lord, Yahweh, that's always going to listen to us. He will listen to those who are his sheep. Hallelujah. He says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
I know them. They follow me.
Yes.
That's Jesus. What he said.
That's it.
They
that's the word.
Follow me. Hallelujah. They will not hear the stranger. Well, if you hear something from the stranger, because he's going to talk. But what the Lord, what it means when you don't hear it is that you don't receive it. You don't receive it. You reject that. We have to reject the evil and receive of the Lord. Hold on to God. Because that line that's open, hallelujah, that line that's open, we have access. We have access. The only reason, Apostle, your message is so strong, the only reason why we don't take advantage of the access is because we are following the wrong spirit, that spiritual blindness.
The eyes have to be open. There are eyes that don't see, ears that can't hear, because we're not open to the spirit. We're still walking in darkness. Walking, slipping into darkness. Those that are backsliding, slipping until we fall completely back into darkness. Yeah, it happens. It happens, because if we're not walking in the light, we talk about the salt and the light all the time, because that's what the Bible says. We got to be that flavor that the world needs. We got to be that, you know, because God, Jesus Christ tastes so good. The word tastes so good. There's flavor, so much flavor in the word of God. It has everything we need. Hallelujah. You ever had a meal and it was just everything you wanted to eat? Everything you wanted to eat. All your favorites were cooked. Everything is right there. And you savor that meal. You savor every bite. And you can taste the goodness of every bite. Hallelujah. That's how it is with the word. You taste the goodness of every word because it's good. Whether it's a word of rebuke, chastisement, whatever it is, whether it's a word to help us to examine ourselves, it's still good. It's still good. Why? Because we can hear. We can hear the Lord saying, straighten that up. Get rid of that. Stop talking like that. Stop cussing. Wash, you know, let the word wash your mouth. Let the word wash your life. You see, Apostle, what you are saying in essence is that we got to change. There has to be a change. And the only way to change from disobedience to obedience is through the word of God. He's the only one that can help us change. And I heard you mention pray for a person to be saved. It's in God's timing that it's going to happen. So we're not supposed to say, well, there's no use. Might as well stop praying. Might as well stop fasting. Might as well not. I don't see no change in that person. But God knows what he's doing. We have to leave them in the hands of the Lord. God knows what time. We had our time of drawing. We had our time. When it was our time, it was our time. You know, and the same way for everybody else. So if someone is constant and doing all this stuff, great. Got so much power.
Your phone is going out. Going in and out. We're not getting you clear, Apostle. We're not getting you clear.
Okay, well,
you need to call in with the other phone. The other phone.
Can you hear me now?
It's very stuffy.
Okay.
Very stuffy.
All right, we'll leave it at that. I don't know what's going on with Bishop's phone, but my phone is strong.
Maybe bad weather. Could be bad weather somewhere.
The internet is acting up, and so are the phones going in and out, and it's probably a problem with the power.
Now it's clear. It's clear right there now.
Okay. All right, I have to hold the phone real still. Amen. But I was just basically saying that spiritual blindness is the problem. The devil is the deceiver. And, you know, we talk all the time about how people see good as evil and evil as good. And that's what the flesh is. The flesh don't want to believe that it's doing wrong. the natural man needs the spirit man to be lined up with the word of God. It has
right.
to be lined up. Otherwise, it's not going to be natural. You're not going to be walking like you're supposed to be walking naturally. That what we are in the inside will come on the outside. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The Bible says, I believe Jesus said, it's not what comes out of him. It's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out.
That's
what
right.
comes out of a man that defiles
that's the
him.
Word.
And yeah, so that's the things Jesus has taught us so well, and he has given us all of the principles and all of the laws. We have all of the principles we need to walk uprightly before God. He does not expect us to do something that he has not given us the tools and given us what we need and given us, you know, like given us the principles. That's your tools. That's the tools we need to get fixed up. Hallelujah. The principles of God. Hallelujah. And so God comes to do a reconstruct. Hallelujah. It's like an old house that need to be renovated. Amen. That old house got to be renovated. We said in the last message, we got to give up the old ways, the old way of talking, the old way of walking. Old ways got to go. And it's evident that when we are walking holy, when we are not the way we used to be, it's evidence that the Lord has come in. We've allowed the Lord to come in, and he has done a work in us. And it shows up in what we do. It's evidence. Our walk is the evidence of whether we are walking holy or are we not walking holy. It's evidence. What we do is the evidence. And I always say this little saying. I always say, your cheating heart will tell on you. If that heart is not right with God, it's going to tell on you because we're cheating. We're cheating on God. Amen. Spiritual adultery is cheating on God. For those who already are supposed to be born again, baptized, tongue speaking, supposed to be born again, tongue speaking. And like you said, go to every service. Every service. Midweek, every time the pastor said, they're going to have service. They're there. But there's no change. Or one time a change did come, but we went back to our old ways. The Bible says only a dog goes back to his vomit. Jeez, you see a dog lick up his vomit? That's some harsh words right there. Apostle. When I read that, I was like, oh, my God, it's real nasty. That's how it looks to God. Ooh. When we go back to our old ways, it's like a dog licking up his own vomit.
Jesus.
We go back to our old dog days. Anything goes. My God, hallelujah. And I thought about a dog in heat, and another dog can just smell it. And just smell it and go for any dog around that's hitting heat. Any dog around. And we fall for everything that's around. We fall for everything.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. We go after it. And it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter because the devil will have us in heat for sin. When you follow in the ways of the world, it's like you in heat. You're hungry for the sin. You in heat for it, and you're going to follow the ways of the dog. The dog fall for anything. The dog pick up anything off the ground and eat it. Nasty. It's real nasty. I know some people will get offended, but it's real nasty. It's real nasty when we go back and we reject God and go back to them nasty old ways. That's what you're talking about,
yeah.
Apostle. It's not natural. It's not natural. If the spirit man is well, then we are going to do well. But that spirit man
That's right.
has to be healthy. He has to be well. Hallelujah. And we stay well when we stay in line with the principles of God's word, which means we're staying in line with his will. If it's not his will, it's no good. It's no good, and God is not having it. No other way. Do as the Lord says. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so I just enjoyed it because it was so good how you put it together, because it's just not natural. It's just not natural to be doing evil and saying you're saved. Doing evil and walking in the ways of the world and saying, you know, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm full of, you know, I got my anointing and all of this. And you always mention they got their ring on, they dress good, they smell good, they live good, all of that. But the soul is not well. The soul is sick. It's sick.
Broken.
And that sin is like, this sin is like cancer, Apostle. It's a disease. It's a disease. It's an illness. And the only thing that can cure it is righteousness. The only thing.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Apostle's phone is going out. That phone is going out. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. This word is so sweet in my spirit. Ah, God, I thank you. Yeah, it must be some bad weather messing with her. I know we got over. We got serious overcast. We had rain this morning, but we got a heavy overcast right now. So I don't know if that's what's messing with the phones.
But the phones mess. And that's just, you know, this is just a preview. God is even with the phones and our electronics and all the thunder, the rain, and the towers are going down, and things go wrong with the phone because there's so much going on. And God is going
to, right.
God's divine judgment is in the earth. And I've been telling people years ago, enjoy what you're enjoying now. I hope you're enjoying the word of God. I hope you're enjoying God.
Yeah.
I hope you're living for God, and then you'll enjoy God. Eating of the word, bearing truth, using your gifts to access the promises, access what God has for us, using our authority. And we've got to party. I mean, it's a fight, Apostle. We got to fight. We got to fight because that enemy want to mess us up. He want to mess us up.
Right.
We got to fight. Up. You mentioned fast and praying. We got, because he want to mess us up. He want to lure us back into those old ways, back into that old way of that old, that flesh that's messed up. The flesh is no good. It's no good.
Yep.
And so,
that's the truth.
And like I said, I've been telling people all along, God has shown me that darkness is here. There's darkness over this earth, Apostle. It's a spiritual darkness that you can only see if you're in tune with the Spirit of God. That's the only way you can see. The sun is shining bright. People are happy. People are prospering, you know, getting married and having children and doing all the natural things that we have been given to be able to do. And there's so much prosperity in the earth. I'm talking about material prosperity. And we have spiritual prosperity too. But here's the thing. We got to understand that God is going to shut all this stuff down. We got to have the word get it in us now. We're not going to be able to get on the phone and call Block Talk. I'm telling you, Apostle, I know
it.
You heard it too. I know the prophets of God have heard it, and God has shown it to me literally the darkness that's hovering over this earth. It's just hovering. There's so much sin, so much spiritual blindness. That's what darkness is blindness. When you can't see, all you can see is darkness. When you have no light in your eyes, the light is gone out of your eyes. All there is darkness, you know, And when I looked at that, when the Lord showed it to me, he was speaking to me about how everything is just going to shut down. There's going to be, Apostle, the electricity, and he's showing it to us now. Look at what the storms do. There was in Cuba, I heard on the news, that they were without power for a whole year in some areas, you know, a whole year.
Yeah.
And now in Florida, it's going to be a long time before some folks get turned back, or the power gets turned back on again. So there's divine judgment, and God is saying the darkness is there. And if you want to be one that's not walking in spiritual blindness, then we got to come to the light. You talked about the light and the salt, and we talked about it last week. We got to have the light. We got to know without the light, we're going to stay in the dark. Amen? And stay blind. So essentially what you was talking about is spiritual blindness, which brings on all of what you were talking about. They can't see. What they see is of the world. What they see is of the, what they see with their blindness is, I can do whatever I want to do and still be blessed. I got everything and still be blessed. But it's not only the people with money spiritually blind. Got poor people spiritually blind too. People from every walk of life is spiritually blind. People from every walk of life, some that are rich are saved. Some that are rich are doing some good things for the kingdom, but it's harder for them. It's harder for them because they have everything, materialistic-wise. But beautiful word, a warning word. The word was saying, wake up. Wake up. Wake up. It's what God is saying on this line every day. Wake up, please. So we're not in spiritual blindness. That's all I kept hearing through the whole thing. And then when you said about we got to live in order to, well, I don't know how exactly you said it. I got to go back, but it was good. You said you got to live holy.
You got to die. You got to die. You got to die in order to live. You got to die in order to live.
There you go. It was coming for me. It was coming for me. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
In order to live.
You got to die in order to live. To live and to live eternally and to have life and life more abundantly. We have to die to the flesh. Amen?
Yep, got to die to self. Got to die.
But spiritual things just don't come natural. They just don't naturally come. Spiritual things come by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. They just don't come naturally. What we get from the Spirit allows us to walk in a way that's pleasing to God in the natural. But we got to first get it right in the spiritual. Amen. Ain't nobody going to be walking in the Spirit and living a ungodly life. It's no way. It's no way in the world. We can't do it naturally if it ain't spiritual, if it's not of the Spirit of
God. That's right.
And so this is what God is trying to bring home, pounding, wake up, so we can see God, and so we can see it in the way that God sees it. We got to have the same views. We got to have the same views that God gives us in his word. We got to be in alignment. It's an alignment. We got to stay in line, in line. And that's hard for some folk to do. And I heard you mention Bishop Long. The man looked like the healthiest specimen, with all those muscles. And he would wear those shirts so he could show his muscles. He wanted to show everybody that he had all these muscles and how fine he was. But he wasn't fine in the spirit. His spirit was messed up. In the natural, he looked all right. He looked good. And he got his muscles, and he was a fine specimen. All right? But spiritually, he was walking in spiritual blindness. He knew the word, and he wasn't of the word. He was of the world still. Amen. So one thing I heard that he was saying, the young men said, is that he told them, and I can believe this because I've heard some other homosexual people say this on YouTube, that all you have to do is love people and it's right. Whatever you do, it makes it right. So he told those boys he was their spiritual father, and they had to do what he said to do because the Bible says, I do what my father tells me to do, and that's what he told those boys. That's what he said to them.
Mm-mm-mm.
So y'all got to listen to what I tell you, whatever I tell you to do. And then he was laying that money on them, taking them to these places, lavishing these gifts on them. You see, that's evil. That's evil. So this is where I heard another person say that because they loved each other, it was all right with God. I said, my God. That's blind. That's blind. Arguing with the preacher. Gino. That was on Gino on the YouTube. I was listening to Gino, and he had this discourse with a homosexual person, this man. And he said, as long as we love each other, it's all right with God, because God said we got to love. And when we love each other, we can be married.
Never use that stuff, you know, and they got the preacher saying, you know, God is love. God is love.
God is love.
And long as we loving each other, we in tune with God. We're doing what God says.
Yeah.
The devil is
that's
a liar.
Right.
He's a
that's
liar.
Exactly
he's a counterfeit.
He's a liar.
Take everything God says and turn it upside down. Everything that God says, he turns it upside down.
That's right.
That's why we got to say this word. You know, that's why we got to say this word so we know the truth. When them idiots come with them lying tongues, we know exactly how to rebuke them. Rebuke them in love. Get them the truth.
Rebuke them in love. Amen.
Yep.
Amen. I'll just stand there and say amen again to the word of glory to God. I enjoyed it. I heard it in its entirety. And you preached it so well, so beautifully. And so I'm not going to say anymore. You came back, and the fire never left because you never left the Lord. Amen. The fire will stay with us. The anointing will stay with us as long as we stay with him. Amen. Let us stay with the Savior.
That's right.
And he's going to keep us in his keeping care. He's going to keep us from falling. Amen. He can keep us from falling. He can if we just would listen and just eat from his table that has everything, all the goodies we need is when we at the table, when we at the table, at the supper table with Jesus, that word, eating up that word, filling up with the word. And that word will keep us strong, keep us healthy spiritually, and it can keep us healthy naturally, too. It can keep us healthy. Amen? If we have the mindset, if we have the right mindset, if we have that right viewpoint, have the same viewpoint of what our word is teaching us. It got to be the same. It's got to be in line with the word of God. And we got all we need. God is not asking us to do something that we don't have what we need to get it done. We have everything we need to do it, to be doers of that word. Amen. We can hear it, know it, have degrees, have all that, but if we're not doing it, it doesn't impress God at all. God is not impressed. He's not.
Yeah.
And God is not surprised.
He's not moved.
He's not moved, and he's not surprised at anything that's going on right now. He's not surprised. He knew it before the foundation of the world. He knew everything. He's always going to know everything, and he's always going to be everywhere. And, you know, if we could just be mindful when we're doing things, Lord, I know you're watching. I know you can see me. Lord, I know you can hear me. You see, if we would just stay mindful of that, we would be more mindful in terms of obedience. I know God is watching. He lets us know, I'm everywhere, y'all. I can hear everything you're saying. I can hear every thought. I know what's going on inside of you. So if we could just keep that in mind, do we want, will we actually, well, some people do, but when you really love your partner, are you going to bring another woman in the house and lay down with her in your marriage bed? That's ugly, isn't it, nasty? People do that, and that is really nasty when we commit spiritual adultery, because we're supposed to be enthroned, I can say, to Jesus. Amen? Because the marriage supper is going to happen when we all get together, hallelujah, on that beautiful day when we'll all be at the supper table with Jesus, literally in paradise. So you know that Jesus is watching. The Spirit of the Lord can see it all. So while we go out and commit that sin and be like that dog, God is watching. That's supposed to bother us. That's supposed to be like, oh, my God, Lord, never let me go there. God, never. God, keep me from going away from you, God. A simple prayer. God, just keep me from going away from you. Keep me walking holy, God. Keep me. I need you. Have mercy on me, Lord. Because it's spiritual adultery. When we reject God and we go sleep with sin, we go hang out with sin, that's adultery. Because we say we give our lives to God. It's like when you take marriage vows and I'm going to submit to my husband. My husband going to submit to me. That's how it's supposed to be with the word. It's like it's a marriage. I'm married to Jesus. Spiritually, I'm already married to Jesus. So if I go out and do something against his word, I'm committing spiritual adultery.
Mm-hmm.
It's point blank. God talks about him. He talks about him in his word about the spiritual whores. Same thing. He straight up say whores.
That's right. Sure enough.
Some people say, oh, not the
curse. Book of Ezekiel tell you right out, straight out.
That's right. Straight out. Your spiritual whores. And that's what you were talking about. You were talking about those you're walking unnaturally. It's not natural. It's not natural. It shouldn't be natural for a person to be lusting, always lusting after someone else and you're married. It's not natural to always be lusting after sin and you're supposed to be married to Jesus. It's not natural. It's not. It's totally, totally ridiculous and it's infectious. It infects the soul. It's in your soul with some poison. That's
Jesus.
What it is. I know that's some serious words right there, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And that's what God wants us to see. If you're not standing for righteousness, then you're standing for unrighteousness. It's either or. And we need to make up our minds where we really want to be. You know, say that on Block Talk. I'll talk to you about that. Praise God. Amen. I'm done, Apostle. Amen.
Thank you so much for your input there, Apostle. That was just so powerful. That's right on the money. Thank you for Mother Grant and
Brother. Thanks, Mother Grant.
Bishop reading, doing the prayer of salvation from his spiritual heart. We just thank God. We pray God's strength over Bishop, you know. We're getting a little older now, Bishop, and I pray in God strengthen you and strengthen me. Because we're getting old. You know, another week,
amen.
I'll be 73 years old. And another week, I'll be 73. I know you're ahead of me, but we're going to stay together anywhere. You know.
Amen.
Doesn't matter. We're going to stay
amen.
Together. As God called us out so that we can lead somebody else out, you know, and that's
amen.
What it's going to take.
That's
going to take us staying together.
Yeah.
Trusting
yeah.
God to strengthen us. You know, we're talking about, you were mentioning about Bishop Lowne, but you know what really surprised me in all this stuff? When I was talking to that young man that, you know, he's tricky, but the Lord is allowing me to deal with him so that he could
mm-hmm.
see the Lord. And
amen.
I was praying for him and how his countenance changed and everything yesterday. I said, you know what, glory to God. He said that when he started to talk about Bishop Lowne, he said, I was watching it. Man, it really bothers me that he's supposed to be a man of God and all this stuff. I say, you never know what really grabbed my heart is that you never know who is watching you.
That's
you
right.
never know who is watching you. They may not come into the service, but they're watching your moves. Every move that you make, that you proclaim Jesus as Lord, they're watching you. They're watching to see how you walk, how you treat people, how you deal with people, how you respond. And I said, even when the young man was talking to me in that unseemly way on the telephone, when he showed up and he met me, his whole countenance changed. Everything about him changed. He said, he probably said, I'm sorry for really talking to you the way I talked to you. He says, I was having a bad day. And I told him straight, I said,
mm-hmm.
you can't allow a bad day to take you to a place that you don't need to be. Because you don't know who you're dealing
that's right.
with. You know,
you sure don't.
I say, and I tell him, I'm a servant of God, you know, and the way you was leading, you trying to take me back into my past life, you know, because that's the way you was going. And I told him straight up, you know. So this young man, this guy, other guy, he's younger than me. John is younger than us. And John was seeing all of that. He said, man, he said to me, he said, man of God, he said, Pastor, man, you be just God. I said, no. I said, look, you know that in my past life, I would want to put a hole in him. I told him, I said, I would want to take him down. You know, when I come and see him, I'd want to take him down. Because he take my stuff. My stuff is not his stuff. He don't have the right to take my stuff and take it into his apartment. But the Lord, when the Lord is in your heart, the Lord takes control. You know, we are no longer in control. See, we got to understand that we are no longer in control.
Amen.
But it is him. It is him who's leading us. And what we have to do, we have to get out of control. That's where the flesh got to die. We have to die. All of us got to die to self. You got to die to self. Put self to death.
That's right.
Listen, Apostle, I'm going to share something with you. I'm going to share something. We're going to blow your mind. They're going to blow your mind. 31 years ago, I can't tell you on the line because it's not for everybody. 30 years
amen.
Ago, that I've been in bondage. You hear what I'm saying? I've been in bondage for 30 years waiting on the Lord. For 30 years waiting on the Lord to do something for me.
My
and
God.
I knew that only the Lord Jesus Christ could do it. 30 years.
Yes. Yes, God.
You hear what I'm telling you? 30 years.
Yes,
it's a long time to
that's
wait
a
on
long
the Lord.
Time.
A long time. I'm not ashamed to tell you, for a long time to wait on the Lord to come true for you when you say, the Lord going to do it for me. The Lord going to do
amen.
It for me. You know?
Yeah.
But all you telling people, oh, the Lord going to do it for me. And they're wondering why. You ain't got what you want. You're working for the Lord. You on the Lord payroll. And you telling people that he's going to do it for you. But yet still you're not seeing anything. Ain't nothing happening. But you're still waiting.
You're still waiting. Still working.
I was telling my wife, you know, I says, I said, baby, I serve a serious God. He is serious.
Yes, Lord.
And when God says to you that he's going to do something for you, you can sure enough sign your name next to his name.
Yes, you can.
Because he's not going to lie. And all that time I've been waiting, over 30 years, Russell, over 30 years. And when I tell you what it is, you're going to say, well, I thought. In yourself, you might not tell me that, but in your mind, you're going to say, I thought so-and-so was so-and-so. But the Lord says, no. Get what I tell you. He says, I got you. Don't care what nobody said, what they're doing. I got you. You belong to me. And I'm going to work it out for you. See, God said, I'm going to work it out for you. It may not look like it's happening, but God said, I got you.
Amen.
I told John, I said, John, your son going through all this. He's a football player, plays in the NFL. You hear what I'm saying? And got caught up with the wrong people. And the devil is trying to take him out. This young man.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome man.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't never seen him, but I know he's handsome. Why? Because I met his mother. And I met his brother.
Mm-hmm.
I met his father.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all very handsome.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell him, John, God works in mysterious ways. Not in your way or my way. But he works in mysterious ways.
Yes, he
does.
Son,
not your way or my way. His ways are mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
And not your time or my time. But he works. And all you have to do is trust him. Trust him. I don't care what nobody says. Trust him. When you trust him, he'll surprise you all the time. He'll surprise you all the time. All the time. Because when he comes true is when you least expect him to come true. My God, the moment you give up, you're about to give up, it happens for you. And that's what God just did for me.
Yes, Lord.
I mean, just what he just did for me. I tell
you,
Apostle, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. It's not money. It's not money. But it's supernatural. It's a supernatural blessing.
Praise
if you
God.
See it the way I see it, it's a supernatural blessing. Ain't no money, ain't no car, ain't no house, ain't no plane, no jet. But
Hallelujah.
It's something that I wanted from the Lord. I want the Lord to do for me.
Lord,
and we had just gone on the internet looking to seeing why it didn't happen. We were seeing why this thing wasn't happening, Apostle. And
praise God.
I was on my way home from the job, and I got a call on the phone. I got a call on my phone.
Praise God.
And it says, everything is in your favor.
Hallelujah.
You remember, look at the Israelites, 430 years, not 400 years. 430 years they were in captivity. Waiting to get out of Egypt. 430. It's in the Bible. Because you hear people say 400, but it's 430 years they were waiting on God.
Yes. And their confession
came. And God is testing Sarah all that time. Testing Sarah.
All that time.
Because she wants. And every time Sarah would say, okay, go. But then God would harden his heart. Because God said, I'm not going to let nobody say they did nothing for me. Do you know why God was hardening Sarah's heart? God ain't going to let nobody say they did something for his people. Do you know that?
That's right.
He ain't going to let nobody say that. They don't want to get out and say, man, you know, I got so upset with Moses, I just send the people go, no, God ain't going to let you do that. When I bring them out, I'm going to bring them out with a strong arm. A strong
That's
arm.
Right.
That the world is going to know if he deliver you.
The world going to know. No
That's
man
the God we
did.
Serve. That's
Amen.
Right.
That's for sure.
I'm dealing with this stuff. I need to have this body to do this to me and that body. God said, you don't need nobody but me. That's all you need is me. All you need to do is trust me, and wait on me. And doesn't matter who come against you, I'm going to work it out for you.
Work it
over 30-some years. Over 30-some years, Apostle.
That's why we can never give up on God.
I'm tell you how long this has been going on, Apostle. And you're going to know.
My God.
Since 1988, you'll know how long that is.
I heard you. I heard you mention that before.
1988.
Praise
you hear what I'm saying?
I hear you.
When God delivered me from crack cocaine, all I did was trust God.
Amen.
He took it away from my mouth. People, even preachers, even tell me, stop talking about how God delivered you. I had a bishop tell me I was assistant pastor to him. I didn't call for it, didn't want it, because I was an apostle. God anointed me an apostle, you know. He anointed me to apostle to tell the truth. Don't care what nobody said. That's what he said. He said, I anointed you to tell the truth. I don't care what nobody said. It's not about money. It's not about stuff. He says it's about your soul. You just tell them what I say, and if they get mad, let them get mad. I'm going to protect you. Wherever you go, I'm going to protect you. Pastor told me, Bishop told me, well, you ought to stop telling people about how God delivered you from crack cocaine. People are going to look at you. I don't care how you look at me. I'm free. You know, I'm free. And you want to go write a book about me using crack cocaine? Go write a book. You may sell some copies. But I'm free. And God freed me. Not my wife, not my children, not my boss, no supervisor. God freed me. So why shouldn't I give him glory? I don't want nobody to know that I used to drink alcohol. I want nobody to know I was a lesbian. I want nobody to know. Man, what? God knows. Satan know you were a lesbian. Satan know you were a homosexual. Man, just give God some glory and make Satan mad. When you every time you open your mouth and glorify God, Satan get mad. Satan wants you to shut your mouth because he know that's where the power is. The power is when you testify that Jesus delivered you. He set you free. You can preach the gospel. You know Hebrew. You know Greek. You know how to exegete. You know how to parallel the scriptures. That don't move nobody. But when you share that testimony, people look at you. Man, God can do that.
Hallelujah.
God can do that for her. If God can do that for him, man, he can do it for me too.
Amen.
You overcome with the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. When you share that testimony, people get delivered. People get more delivered because now they're seeing action that God has done something. It's not the preacher talking. Now you got something you can show. God deliver me. Man, I was a womanizer. Had baby outside of wedlock. All that stuff. And God kept my wife with me. You hear what I'm saying? I had baby, hear what I tell you, a daughter outside of wedlock. I wasn't saved and sanctified then. I was a gigolo. You understand? Smoking, cracking, running with all types of women. And God still had his hands on me. You tell me about the word. God is awesome. God don't choose you when you're perfect. He perfects you. He chooses you broken and make you whole. You hear what I'm saying? He don't choose no perfect people. He chooses imperfect people, but he's perfecting them all the time. The more you stay with God, the more God going to perfect you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I tell people, Pastor, Bishop, sir, well, don't. You got to stop doing that, Pastor. I said, no, I can't stop. You know, people look at you different. I said, let them look. He said, stop telling them about you, oh, God, deliver you from crack cocaine and all that stuff. I said, what else do you want me to tell them? I said, what else do you want me to tell the people? You want me to tell them a lie? I'm telling the truth. Because God delivered me. I'm delivered.
Yes, we.
If you're not delivered,
right,
you can't tell them that.
Thank you, Lord.
I know.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
I can go anyway, Apostle. I don't care how much cocaine they're smoking, how much alcohol they're drinking. If it's not Holy Communion, I don't need none of it. It don't move me. You understand? I know people say, well, I go to the family cookout, and they got Jack Daniels, they got Budweiser, they got Labatt beer, they got Heineken. I'm just going to drink one beer. Man, I don't have to drink nothing. I'm already on high. I'm already high. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. High on the Holy Ghost. I need nothing to change my mood. I'm high on him. Glory to God. I'll be on the job, man. I'll be talking about Jesus. And the customers look at me and say, man, what's wrong?
to talking about Jesus, and they start changing. They start changing because they see the tenacity that's inside of me for Christ Jesus. Not that I'm perfect, but I'm being perfected because he's perfecting me. See, none of us are perfect. God is perfecting us every single day. Every day you hear the word, every day you breathe the word, every day you live the word, God perfecting you. Every day. He's making you more and more like him. Every day.
Amen.
Every day. You're not there yet, but every day you're getting more and more like Christ and becoming more and more like him. That's why you got to share your testimony. Because somebody's still in bondage. Somebody's still in bondage. See, it's called a testimony because you have overcome a test. You understand? You have overcome a test. The devil don't want you to share it because he wants you to believe in your mind that you're still in bondage. No, you're not in bondage because the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. So share your testimony. Don't let nobody hinder you, stop you from sharing your testimony. That's where your power is. The first person that I led to Christ, I was in the street door street ministry in Alexandria, Virginia. And I didn't know no whole lot of scriptures, apostle. But the minister told me, he said, well, minister to the man there. He's coming down the street, eyes red and full of cocaine. And I started to tell him. He said, what are you going to tell him? He said, man, talk to him about your testimony. God, I didn't know no whole lot of scriptures. And I was dressed in a $2.95 or 98-cent suit from my Salvation Army. I told you all about that before. And I looked sharp, man. That suit was good sharp, man. He had no holes or nothing in it. Was nice.
Amen.
And the man looked at me. And when I told him that I was a drug addict, overcome, you know, well, God had delivered me. Man, the man fell in the street. Pastor fell in the street on the sidewalk. Man, and he started crying. He said, I want to change, but it's hard for me. I said, it may be hard for you, but I said, with Jesus, it's easy. You just got to give your heart to Jesus. He'll change you. See, the problem is everybody wants to think that the preacher can change you. The preacher can't change you. Give your heart to Jesus. He's the one going to change you. You know, and the man fell in. They come and prayed with me, with him, and helped me to lead him in the prayer of salvation. Cause I didn't know how to do no prayer of salvation. I didn't know how to go to Romans and call out Romans 3 and 23 and 6 and 23 and Romans 10, 8, 9, 10, 11. I didn't know all this stuff, but I know it now. And God was perfecting me, understand, for me, so I can testify for him and give him the glory. Hallelujah. And as long as I stay in this, the devil can test me. I don't care who he is. He can come around and he can roar and sound his voice. But I said, look, you may be an old roaring lamb, but I know the real lamb, the one who has some power. He's the lamb of the tribe of Judah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So you can roar as much as you want to roar, devil. I know the real lamb. You're a counterfeit lamb, but I know the real lamb. The real lamb. See, the Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He walk around seeking who he may devour. But I know the real lion that can devour you if he wants. Hallelujah.
Right.
His name is Jesus.
That's
so
right.
I thank
Amen.
You all so much. But the line is open.
Amen.
The line is open.
To God.
Hallelujah.
God. Ooh. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. That was good. That was good. But praise God. God, we have, you know, we've said before so many times, we have to be good waiters. Gotta wait. Wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. He'll show up. But here's the thing that he dropped in my spirit when you were saying that it's already been done. God has already planned our lives out because that's who God is. He's the Alpha, the Omega.
Yeah.
He knows the end from the beginning. So it's already been planned for you. That time to manifest is already planned. So here's the thing that God is saying. I will allow you to go through the process. We have to go through the process in order for this to manifest. We have to be processed. We're going through the process.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. And it'll come a time when God will allow it to manifest. Bottom line, God's timing is perfect. Sometimes people are asking God for things that, and I'm not talking about you, but we want it to happen right now. We want everything to happen right now. But God wants to see, how long are you going to wait on me? I waited for you a long time to come to me.
That's right.
I waited for you. I was patient with you. I waited with you so long. And this is the Holy Spirit talking. I waited for you. I had mercy on you. I poured my grace out on you. Because where grace abounds, sin abounded even more. When you were in walking in sin, my grace was being poured out on you to keep you for the day of salvation.
Yeah.
You got to learn to wait on God. Sit in the waiting room. Hallelujah. When I mean sit in the waiting room, allow yourself to sit spiritually. Amen. Doing everything that God says to do. And even when you're doing things, doing what God says to do, he will still allow you to wait. And when that thing breaks, when that breakthrough comes, when that supernatural thing comes, my God, you know only God did it. Only God could do it. And you'll be saying, Lord Jesus, it was worth it. And that's another testimony. When you say, as 30 years, that's saying to somebody else today, wait on the Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because I got my manifestation after 30 years. That's a testimony. That's it. Some people say, I wouldn't say that I've been waiting on God. How you want to trust a God and you've been waiting 30 years? No. See, that's the wrong way to think. That's because your eyes have not been enlightened with understanding. It has not enlightened yet. You don't have the light in your head. You ain't got the light in your eyes. You can't see. But this is a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual thing. So we got to wait on the Lord. Hallelujah. That's a testimony. The other thing he dropped in my spirit while he was saying about the man said, preacher said, stop telling people about God delivered you from crack cocaine and all that. The devil was trying to put a spirit of pride on you. That's a spirit of pride. And it would have displeased God. It'll displease God when we got too much pride. To talk about what God brought us out of. And God is a jealous God. I brought you out. You better boast on me. You better talk about me because I brought you out of that. It wasn't your friends, your mama, your daddy. It wasn't anybody but me because nobody else could have done it. Praise God.
That's right.
That was that spirit of pride. That's what that was. Well, don't say that. People are going to look at you and they're going to look at you as a bad person. How could you be a man of God and you used to be on cocaine? How could you be a woman of God and you had abortions? How can you be a woman? How are you going to talk to me about this stuff and you used to be, you was that? Yeah, it was. Past tense. You still doing your mess in the present. Mm-hmm. I'm now in the presence of God. I'm now doing things to please my God, and I'm not going to let no devil come in here and corrupt my soul again.
Hallelujah.
The pride, that pride of life. My God, that devil was speaking pride. That's something that he does. He don't want you to talk about your testimony, and I'm glad you said it, because every time you speak, God allow you to talk about your testimony, somebody else is going to get delivered.
That's right.
Saved, made free. Because when you're free, you're not worried about what people think about you. I'm free.
That's right. It doesn't matter.
I'm free. I'm not worried about what people think about me. I'm going to bless my Lord. I'm going to boast on my Lord. I'm not boasting on what I did. I'm boasting on what he did. So I'm not going to let no devil come in and corrupt my soul. I used to be living in corruption, living in sin, committing crime daily, crime after crime against the Lord. Sin is a crime. It's a crime, Apostle.
That's right.
If it wasn't
That's right.
a crime, Jesus would not have had to go to trial. He went to trial. Hallelujah.
That's right.
And they said he was guilty and he did no wrong.
But he
did the wrong.
My God,
so
my
that's
God.
Why he had to be given a sentence of guilty. But when he died and stayed in that tomb. He did that time, that 3 days, that resurrection time. Glory be to God. And then
Jesus.
He came out and on that third day, and he rose again.
With all that power.
He rose again. You know
Jesus.
Why? We could be deemed not guilty. I can say I'm not guilty. My God stood for me. He stood trial for me.
My God, my
Hallelujah.
God, my God.
And he was deemed guilty for my sin, our sin. But now I'm free. I'm not
yes,
on death row.
Yes, sir.
I'm not on death row. As long as you're committing sin, you're on death row. Any day you can lose your life. The whole time
Jesus.
You're walking in sin, any day now, when they come and say, hey, it's time to go, when the time is up, I pray that you be delivered. Pray
my
to
God,
be set
my
free.
God, my God.
Be set free before that day come. Be set free because Jesus paid the price with his blood and he suffered so we could be deemed not guilty. I'm free. Ain't nobody going to get me back in bondage. I tell people, no, I'm not going back in bondage. It wasn't good there.
That's right.
And we
I'm free. No more chains holding me. Yes, I'm free.
Jesus, I'm free.
Hallelujah,
thank you,
Jesus.
And
no
I
more chains holding me.
No more chains.
Yes.
The chain ain't just been broken
Hallelujah.
Off. It's been destroyed. It ain't broke. It's been destroyed because there ain't no way. Ain't no way them links going to be hooked back up again. No, indeed. I'm not linked up to that devil no more. No, I ain't got no more links with him because it's destroyed.
Yes,
you can't
Lord.
See it anymore.
Yes, Lord.
You can't see it anymore.
Woo.
And people all watching.
God
they're watching
glory.
Us. They're watching us. They're listening to us. They're listening to what they say.
Yep.
And, you know, we're criticized all the time. But you know what? Apostle, we're free. It doesn't bother us.
Yes.
We're free. My God, we're free because we love in spite of hate. We love in spite of criticism. We love in spite of all of that, and we move on in the peace of God.
My.
On us. The joy of the Lord is on us, and it doesn't matter what
yes,
nobody
Jesus.
Say or do. I am free. I'm free from that foolishness.
Free.
I don't even get involved. I don't even respond to that foolishness no more. I don't respond to it.
Jesus.
Bottom line, I'm dead to it. I'm just dead to that stuff, Apostle. When you're
Lord,
free,
Jesus.
You're dead to it. You become dead. I'm dead to that thing. I don't need it no more. I don't love it.
Lord Lord.
I'm not, my flesh is not on fire for it. That devil will have you on fire
Jesus.
Will do out there and do wrong. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I just thank you,
thank
Jesus.
You, Lord.
So good to say and know to know you free. That's what it is. To know you free is so beautiful. Oh, and you know the burden.
Jesus.
The burden.
Thank
oh,
you, Lord.
He's just helping us. He helps us in every way. And our burdens are there. He bears our burdens. My God. And we've just been lifted. We've been lifted above. When he says you're above only and not beneath, it's exactly what he says. You're not with all that foolishness no more. You're not beneath. You're not under that anymore. You're not under that curse anymore. You're not under that. You're above only and not beneath. You're not under that snake line anymore. That snake, that filthy snake. He's poison. That's what he is. He's poison, and he want to poison the soul. And I'm glad I know the lion of the tribe of Judah. Just like you said.
Yes,
the real
Lord.
Lion.
That's right. The real lion.
I know I'm made in his
yes.
image. Glory be to God. No matter what nobody else say I am, I'm made in his image. Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
The real lion. I like
real
that, Papa. The real lion. He not no counterfeit. He not no counterfeit. He the real land.
He's the real line of the tribe of Judah. Glory.
And he rule everything that got the mouth.
Yeah.
You know what I heard Lord the other day on YouTube out of this man's mouth? And I tell he's going to pay a very great price, and I pray that he repents. Kirk Franklin says out of his mouth, listen what he says, Apostle. You know that he is being controlled, he sold his soul to the devil. He said that the lion, he said the lion and the lamb will bow to the goat.
What?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. If you search it, you'll find it. It's on YouTube. He said the lion and the lamb. Kirk Franklin, I saw it. God will hear somebody say, I got to go see this thing for myself.
You know,
he said the lion and the lamb will bow to the goat. Well, you know the goat represent the devil.
Yeah,
the
and Illuminati.
It represents the,
It's hooked up to the Illuminati,
The lion and the lamb, talking about Jesus. I said to myself, you know, the folk, he got that pink lipstick on at that same time he's talking.
Yeah, I saw it. And he got the high heels on now.
Yeah, he got pink lipstick on, and he's talking that all city going to bow to the goat. I said to myself, you know, these folk, they're singing this stuff. Lord, say, you know that these folk are worshiping, but they're not worshiping the same God that we're worshiping.
No, they're not.
And they're worshiping, they're worshiping for lucre, for money. You know, they're not worshiping because they're in love with Jesus. It's a show for them. They're putting on a show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God said, look at us.
Prancing around.
Saying
don't look like God at
that
all.
That all God, all sin is going to worship, going to bow to the doggone, to the goat. I said, wow. The preacher that was doing it, he says, man, we in a bad time. He said, the preacher said, we in a bad time.
The preacher that was doing the commentator,
and I said, yeah, we are in a bad time. The Bible says so. You know, we are taking this stuff, taking it by ear. But no, this is time that you got to preach this truth. The Bible said, be ready to give an answer in season and out of season. You got to be ready. You got to be ready to tell the truth, to say the truth. Not play. Don't hold it down because you, if I hold it down, they're going to give me money. They're going to do this. No, I don't care. Keep your money. I'm going to tell you the truth if you like it or don't like it. I answer to one person, and that is to Jesus, nobody else.
That's to Jesus Christ.
To Jesus.
Amen.
No,
we talked about it last night. I was watching a special, and it was an Olympic special, you know, when the NBA went to the Olympics and the times they lost in the Olympics. You know, I like football. I like basketball and football. But I asked Bishop why they called Kobe the GOAT. They called him the GOAT. And Bishop, maybe you know what it means. Bishop, what is the GOAT? What it stands for?
Greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time. Greatest of all time, they say he's the GOAT.
Yeah, he
LeBron is the GOAT.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time.
In that particular sports.
How can a man be the greatest of all time? No way in the world you could be a greatest of all time. Only Jesus Christ. In the sports world, but
that's
I'm
right.
just saying, when Apostle mentioned GOAT, when he said they were going to, they you know, that the lion and the lamb was going to bow to the goat. It brought the conversation back that Bishop and I, they can lie together in peace. Yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. But the lion and the lamb, one time the lion will eat a lamb right now. You know, the lion will eat whatever he can get his paws on. But anyway, I said, Bishop, what that mean? You know, because he said, I had never heard them call Kobe a GOAT, that name he called himself. Kobe had another name. He had it written on his body. He had it tattooed on his body. And I forget what it is now, but Bishop knew it. He called himself something, and now LeBron has put it on his arm because Kobe had it on him, and I'm gonna look it up and see what it is. But it goes in one end out the other with them, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Bishop remembers all that stuff, and he's falling asleep right now. But well, what is that thing that Kobe was called himself?
Mumba.
That the Mumba is the snake. He's the Mumba. And LeBron, a deadliest snake. I told you he was going to remember everything. It's the Mumba. It's the snake.
Yeah, that's the world's deadliest snake.
Deadliest snake.
He's more deadly than the cobra. Yeah, he's more deadly than the cobra.
Okay, well, that's what they called him, the Mumba. And so now LeBron got the Mumba tattooed on him. Because now I guess he going to be the Mumba. And, you know, he and, you might not know, but he and Kobe became good friends after a while because they couldn't stand each other for a long time. But I said, the Mumba, I said, why would he want to do that? Put that on, I mean, that's the devil. Put that thing on your arm. Why you want the name of a snake on your body?
Mm.
Because the snake is the one that led him to do it.
Yeah.
A Mumba.
Jesus.
And look what happened with Kobe. And, you know, when he died, I said, it's a shame. It's really a shame that pilot went ahead in that plane anyway, and that innocent child, those innocent children that was on that plane died as a result of that stupidity. It was stupid. It was stupid.
That was a sacrifice, Apostle. That was a sacrifice.
Sacrifice. My
yeah.
God. You're right, Apostle. You just brought it to me. That's why. But that pilot
was
used.
Sacrifice. Because
he told that pilot he had to do it. And I told James last night, I said, you know what? I would have told him, well, you're just going to have to fire me. But see, that money, you're just going to have to fire me because I'm not taking my plane. I'm not taking this plane out. Well, that was his private plane, and that was his private pilot. So he did what he told him to do, but they all died. They all died.
Yep.
I think one person made it out or made it out and then died. But I said, isn't that something? Why you want to call yourself a ghost? Because it's evil.
Well, see a lot of these football players and basketball players and the entertainers and all this stuff, they sell their soul. They give their soul to the devil. Movie stars, actors and actresses, they sell their soul to the devil because they want to be established. But then you've seen a lot of them falling out. They're young. They're not even in the 60s, the 70s. And they're dying. They're dying because the devil won't let them go so far. And then they have to sacrifice. Some of them
they
give their children. They give their children and stuff, their babies and stuff as a sacrifice, and then the devil says, oh, no, I need you now. The man John I worked with yesterday was telling me about this fellow that was, he was playing sports, and said it was a neighbor, and he had given his life, his soul to the devil, and he had elevated so fast, had so much money, nice cars, homes, and all that stuff. He said he was a young man, and said the devil came in the house and told him, he said, look, I want you now. I want your soul. And he said he went and lay in the bed with his brother. And the brother couldn't see him, but couldn't see the devil, this evil spirit that came for his brother. He said, so he could hear him talking to this whatever he was talking to. And his brother got up and had to leave the house and went out the house. Next morning, this man was dead. This young man was dead in front of the house.
Oh,
he was dead. The devil took his soul.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
And John was saying, this is it's real to how the people sell their souls, give their souls to the devil, because they want riches. They want, and there's preachers that did it, preachers that give their life to the devil. And that's why a lot of people don't preach on Jesus. They don't preach on Jesus. They preach a whole bunch of stuff, but they don't preach on Jesus. They don't preach about the blood. They don't preach about the cross. You know?
No, they
and you'll see that they'll tell you, they're going to Oprah Winfrey and tell that, oh, I got $75 million, and all this money they got, all their portfolio, they talk that stuff. You know?
Mm-hmm.
But they're not concerned about what it says to tell the people. Well, as long as you come into church, you know, you save, you save, you come into church, come on, you church. You're living your life, your best life now. You're living your best life now. No, that's not your best life.
No, it's not.
In that house
life
is not your best life.
No,
you know?
It's not.
If you say, no, I go to so-and-so church, I'm living my best life. I drive a BMW, I got a Lexus, I got a Cadillac. I make my best. No, that's not your best life.
No, it's not.
Best
your
life.
Best life is in Jesus.
No.
Your best life
is in Jesus. They're not living a holy life, a righteous life, a life that please God.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
You could see the preachers
that in the Bible, the prophets that live a righteous life, God supply all their needs, all their needs. And even all the stuff they had, they didn't mean nothing to them. All what meant to them is giving God glory, living a satisfied life to God, a life that glorifies God. That's important. So God is saying that people, they're proclaiming to be whole, but they're broken in the natural. In other words, their flesh is broken.
No,
you know. And in order to live a whole life, a spiritual whole life, is that we have to put this flesh under subjection. Paul talked about it. You got to put the flesh under subjection. The flesh must die, because that's the only thing. Satan can't use your spirit. See, he cannot use your spirit because your spirit represents your soul has been purchased with the blood. So, but he can use your flesh. He can use your flesh. So when Jesus died on the cross, he died for your soul, not for your flesh. So the flesh is still active. Flesh still active, wants to do what it wants to do. That's why you say a man can go up there and he can preach what you call a fast smoking hot message, and then go and sleep with a little boy or a little girl. You know.
My God.
He just got off the pulpit preaching a fire-filled message. And people say, preach, pastor, preach. You're preaching good. Oh, you're preaching good. And then he go and commit homosexual lifestyle acts, lesbian acts, you know. Just got off the altar, you know, because the flesh is not saved. The flesh is not saved. And all of us should be working, asking God to help us to put the flesh under subjection.
Yes, Lord Jesus. That's a prayer right there. Lord Jesus.
You know, all of us should be asking that. God, help me to put my flesh on the subject.
Help us, God.
As long as I've been in this thing, Lord, my flesh still shows up ugly. How can a pastor preach the gospel? You know, how the pastor preach the gospel in Florida? He's a prophet. He sees a prophet, apostle. He preached the gospel. And then goes to his wife's job and takes a revolver and kills his wife. Just finished preaching.
Mm.
Yeah. He locked up in jail in Florida right now. Just finished preaching, pastor. And goes to his wife's job, who was assistant pastor, and shoot her right in front of the police.
Jesus.
Because the flesh is not dead. And that's what Jesus is saying today. Proclaiming to be whole, but broken in the natural. That's the flesh. The natural represents the carnal life. Broken.
That's right. Yeah.
Because preachers, last week I posted on Facebook, many pastors going to die and go to hell. They don't want me to say that, but I'm saying it because God put it in my spirit. Many pastors going to die and go to hell, you said in the message, because of pride. Pride will not allow them to go far along at the altar and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I've been living a double standard.
Jesus.
Pride will not allow them to go to the altar and repent. Do you understand? And because they won't repent, they're going to die and go to hell with sin.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Pastor will see that God make an altar call for people to come to the altar and repent, bow down before the Lord. The pastor's sitting in his fancy chair on the altar. She is sitting in her fancy chair on the altar like she arrived, like she ain't got no mess with her. If the pastor was trying to get down from those fancy chairs and fall on at the altar and croak before the Lord, guess what happened?
Yes, Lord.
The church would be healed, and you would start to see a revival taking place.
They will
I prayed last night when I got up from sleeping after 9:30, 7 to 10 o'clock. I was praying for God to to heal us, and so that we can be revived, and then revival will take place in this nation. That was praying for.
Hallelujah. Yes, God. Amen. And it's going to happen because other
revival have to start with the leaders in the church.
That's right. Real saints of God are praying for it. Yeah.
It starts with
the leaders. But see, God's got
it's not about fancy preaching. It's not about fancy prophesying or prophesying.
No. Nope.
It's about repentance. Repentance.
Yes,
Jesus
my God.
Preached it.
That's
John preached it. Apostle preached it. Pastor John, James preached it. Peter preached it. Paul preached it. John, all the apostles preach repentance. These preachers
That's
today
right.
are preaching prosperity. That's what they're preaching. That's their message, prosperity. God wants you to bless. God wants to bless you with this and that. We already know that. You didn't tell me nothing new. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even contingency, as your soul prosper. So I got to get my soul
That's
prospering
right.
first before I get the
That's
gold
right.
and the Rolex watch and all that. My soul has to be prospering first. Hallelujah. I know God wants to bless us. He says,
yeah,
the
he
blessing
does.
Of the Lord
and
makes it with me. I have no sorrows to. He wants to bless us. But we got to get our soul right to receive the blessing. I want some coming to me and then leaving the next day. You know what I'm saying? I want when the blessing comes, they're going to stay because he had no sorrows to it.
Yeah, he want to keep us above the snake line. Got to stay above that snake line. Hallelujah.
Yep.
Stay above and not beneath. You're not supposed to be down there. It is what it is. But God has a remnant.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
God
always
good,
will
good.
Have a remnant. Always will.
Yes.
That's standing for righteousness, and we're not coming down. We ain't bowing
yes.
down to unrighteousness, period. So that's what it takes. That's what it takes for that flesh. For that flesh to walk holy. Amen. That was so, such a wonderful word. I'll go listen back and take some more notes later. Amen. Take some notes. Take some good notes. Hallelujah. This is really good. And go back to some of those scriptures. Amen. Wonderful message. Wake up call. Wake up. Every one of these messages are wake up calls. Wake up.
Yeah, God's speaking to us. God's speaking to us.
He's saying it.
I
wake up,
he's
church.
Speaking, he's speaking to us.
That's right. Wake up, church. And they don't want to hear those kind of sermons. Most of them don't want to hear those kind of sermons. It's like, I know that. I
mm-hmm.
know it. But are we doing this? And are we doing
yeah.
that? So God is reminding us, you got to do this. And you got to do that. And it's over and over and over again. Because God is patient and God is speaking over and over and over again so we can get it. And if we don't get it, well, we get the chastisement and we don't get to go to heaven. They don't want to hear us talk about the leaders. I'm telling you, it turns people off. Apostle, you know it. It turns them off. Don't talk about no leaders. Well, I think that the same man you mentioned, Apostle, talked all about himself, about what he was doing. Am I right
That's
about
right.
it? He talked about
That's
himself.
Right.
His life spoke for him. So why you want to say we wrong for saying what he did? And his life spoke for him. He told on himself about what he did. So exposed it. He exposed that thing. You're going to get behind the pulpit and claim to be a man and a woman of God. It's
mm-hmm.
awful. And it hurts God. It grieves God. It grieves him. They don't know that either. It grieves him when they do these things. And if you look at the prophets, because you always preaching out of the books of the prophets, you look at the prophets, God always sent the word. A warning.
That's right.
Instruction. He never
That's right.
Sure
enough, good.
Word. He always does.
He's
That's
a good daddy.
He's good. He's going to let you know.
He's a good but daddy.
This is what's
He's
about
a
to happen.
Daddy.
You better stop. And in some cases, he said, don't pray for them no more. Leave them. No. Let them go to their God. Let him go in the book of Isaiah, yep. I believe it is. Let him go to their
right.
God and see if he's going to answer. No, don't
That's
press
right.
them anymore. And you remember what he told Samuel, right? Was it Samuel? Not to pray. Not to pray for Saul no more. Don't pray for him.
That's right. That's him, don't pray. He already fired.
I already took it from him. He fired. He's still king, but he fired. He's still working, but he fired. He
That's
don't
right.
have my blessing no more. And sooner or later, look what happened. He got destroyed. Was trying to destroy David, and that man did him no wrong. No wrong at all. And when he could have killed him, he didn't, but thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't, because that wasn't the plan of God, you know. But it's just so much that God teaches us, and he'll give us that wisdom, and he'll give us understanding as we read his word. He's not going
right.
to leave us ignorant. He said, I won't leave you ignorant. He gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us the word of God. Teach us and lead us and guide us in all truth. So, Apostle, I thank you once again. Once again, praise God. I pray
yeah,
God
thank
for
you
more
for
and more
being
and
here
more
with
more.
Us.
I'm so grateful to be here with you all. So grateful to be a part of this anointed church. This is our church. Hallelujah. It doesn't have to be in a building. It's a church without walls. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We don't need walls to do church, honey. We don't need walls to do church because we are the church. We bring the church.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So we are a church without walls. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you,
Thank
Jesus.
You so much, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank
so I'm glad
you,
you're
Jesus.
Done with that job because I know it was tough. Thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I just gotta go back there. Once an electrician go, I gotta make sure that every tune is tuned right. You know, go back and tune the computer. I got the computer set, but I gotta go back and make sure that everything is stopping when it's supposed to stop, you know. But it's only gonna take me like 15 minutes once I go there. But the hard work and all that installation is finished. It is complete. The electricians gotta run as well. You know, I could have done it, you know, but why do it? We did give a good price on the, way under the price that we should have really charged, almost about $8,000 less, you know.
Oh, my God.
And he's still complaining. He wants us, I asked for another extra $2,000 to buy some more material, and he was saying, complaining. So I just packed my tools and put it in the truck. I said, man, I'm not going to do any more. So finally we got the $2,000, and we spent up to $19 something. It left about $100, $100 and some change.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have had to buy that. I said, no, I'm not going to do it, you know.
Mm-mm.
So he wanted me to do the electrician. Electric work will cost, the guy's charging, he's a Spanish guy going to do the electrical work. But he charged him more than I would charge if I do electrical work, because maybe $1,000, but the guy charged him like $1,800 to run the electrical work. He just run three lines from the box. The box is already there, just run three lines. The breaker's already in there. He's just going to take out the old piece of wire and run three new wires right over to the one for each boiler, and that's it. He can't take you an hour. He can take you an hour.
Wow.
But, you know. I could have done it, but, you know, when people want to take advantage of you because they think you don't know, and you give them a break,
mm-hmm.
natural break, leave it alone. Leave it alone. So
mm-hmm.
John called me this morning and said, the guy is upset. He's over in British Honduras now because his mother just died. She's 96 years old, and he's all mad.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was going to. He's going to wear it. No, I wear it up. What I said I was wearing, all the low voltage and stuff and the computers to the system, I wear that up. But I'm not going to run, go and buy the wire. Going to cost me about $300-$400. Because the wire is copper wire now. It's not aluminum wire. It's more expensive. And I said, I'm not going to do that. I said, if you look at the contract says they never say anything about running new electrical wire. you know. So he's had shut his mouth. But I would go back and make sure everything is running fine, and then I come on home. I'll be over there for less than an hour, and I'll be out of there. Let all three systems heat up, then I come on home. But I don't have to do no more hard work in that place.
That's good.
Well,
thank God it's over.
We're absolutely grateful. Yes, me too.
Amen.
Thank God.
I bet you are. I know that was some hard work.
Yes, it was some serious work.
But God
work.
Got you through it. Up and down the steps
yep.
and all that.
Yep.
Lord, have mercy.
Sure enough, dear.
God gave you that. He gives us that perseverance and that endurance. You know,
yes.
To continue on, to bless, to be a blessing to him, to the Lord. And as we bless others, we're even more of a blessing. But it blesses the Lord when we bless others. And so God has given
That's
you
right.
the strength to do what you're doing for his own purpose. It's for the purpose of the Lord. Hallelujah. Whether it be, it's going to help. It's going to help you. It's going to help others. First and foremost, it's going to help others because you're going to give first. Amen. So it's just a wonderful thing what God is doing. Hallelujah. And we're able to do it because of his grace. It's only because
yes,
of grace.
Yes,
and
yes.
One other which you were preaching to, and you were saying how, you know, the work you were doing and all of that. But God gave you those gifts, and you're still, your gifts are still making room for you. That is what God
yes.
does. So here's the thing, what he says about your gifts and your rooms and all of the things that God is doing. He says, you, me, and all of us who are, they will call us over the hill. But no, we're overcomers. We're not over the hill. We're overcomers.
That's
so
right.
I'm an overcomer. I'm not over the hill. But anyway, I can tell you how I got over through Jesus Christ. But
yeah.
What he's saying is that you will bear fruit in your old age. You will still bear fruit in your old age. In your old gray-haired days, you will still bear fruit. And I always
right.
remind God of that. I give God that word. I say it back to God. God, you said that we were going to still bear fruit in our old age.
Yeah,
so, Lord,
Jesus.
Thank you for the fruit. And we thank you that we're growing
yeah.
in the fruit. We thank you we're bearing more fruit, God. As we get older, we're bearing more fruit, God, in our gray-haired days. Lord God, we just thank you for that
yeah.
favor that's continually in our lives. Because, Lord God, you said that you would give us favor for life, for our life. So, Father, we thank you for that favor for life, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are taking care of all things by me, spiritually and naturally. Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And we don't take it lightly. We thank you for your grace, God. We thank you. Hallelujah. That we have all.
Yes, God is so awesome.
God,
my Lord.
God is not a half-step God. Hallelujah. God give it all. God said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. In the city, blessing you in the field,
Jesus.
Blessing you when you
Thank
come.
You, Lord.
And when you go, and I stand
Thank you
on
for
it.
Blessing, Lord.
We have to stand on it. We got to stand on the word. Stand on the promises of God. But the promises come with a price. You don't want to pay the price. No gain. No pain, no gain. Hallelujah.
No pain, no gain.
No pain, no gain. And if you don't want to pay the cost, don't expect to be blessed. Because that's what it takes. No pain, no gain.
No pain,
that's
no gain.
No pain, no gain.
All right. Bishop.
Praise God. So
Bishop can
close
close
us out.
No, Bishop can close us out. If,
I don't know. Hey, we can work there now.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to you. Hope your ear feels better.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bishop.
All right.
Go ahead. Hallelujah.
All
right. May God sustain us.
May God protect us with his hands. May he direct us in the right directions that he wants us to go. May we follow every rule of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And love one another as we are to love ourselves, to love one another and our brothers and sisters. Oh, God, thank you in Jesus' name. And we'll meet again on tomorrow, if God wills. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Bishop. Thank you, Mother Grant. And Minister Jones is on the line. He just got off this minute. And we thank you, Apostle. I don't know who's bringing, if Prophet is sure going to bring the word or not, but we know we're going to be on tomorrow for sure. Hallelujah. We're going to have Holy Communion on this Saturday. And we're going to have Holy Communion this Saturday. The Lord lays. Right. Okay. Have a blessed evening and stay ready. Stay ready to go. Because if a false a shepherd, she don't come on, we will. You all will come on and bring a word. Okay. So be ready. I'll let you know tonight.
Okay.
I'll let you know tonight. All right. You all have a blessed evening. I'll talk to you later. God bless.
God bless you. Have a blessed day.
God bless you.
Thank you,
God bless you.
Thank you, Mother Grant.
Yes. God bless you.